Welcome to Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. I'm Shelby Varner. Mental health is often considered a taboo subject to talk about, especially in the agricultural industry. However, Kansas Farm Bureau finds this subject an important subject to talk about and understands the importance of mental health, not only in the agricultural community, but also in rural communities. And we're thankful that we have two lovely women here to talk about it today. We have Donna Wise, who's a Kansas Farm Bureau member from Sedgwick County, and Ashley Buying, who's a Kansas Farm Bureau member from Osage County. And she is also a family nurse practitioner in a rural health clinic. Thank you both so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you, Shelby.
Donna, getting started with you, can you share about why mental health is important to you to talk about?
Well, it's important to me because I lost my father to suicide when I was 18 years old. It was a situation where it just kind of an inherited chemical imbalance or whatever led to his depression, and he didn't have good tools to deal with it. So consequently, he took his life. And I know how much it impacted, you know, not only is he gone, but it impacted the lives of everyone around him in ways that he would not have wanted. And so I think just to be able to talk about it, to consider the reality of it, and that a person does not have to live in the pain of severe depression or take their life. There are other possible outcomes. There's medication, there's psychotherapy, just giving you some tools to deal with the ups and downs of life, and knowing when you're going through a bad time, tomorrow's probably going to be better, whether anything else changes or not. Just that's the cycle, how the cycle sometimes goes. But I think it's important to talk about.
Definitely a great important topic to talk about. Ashley, can you share why you find this as an important topic to talk about?
You know, I think it's really poignant that Donna said the word tools. You know, what tools can we give individuals, particularly in rural communities, so that they can feel empowered to take care of their mental health and use it as a priority? For me, it is seeing individuals that have maybe struggled, particularly with the COVID endemic that we are facing or we have faced over the past couple of years, and teaching these individuals that it's okay to not be okay, but there is those tools that are available to help them. I find it very interesting that currently there's 1 in 5 individuals in rural America that deal with mental health concerns. And so that could be a family member, a friend, a coworker, or someone that you go to church with. And as someone that works in a rural community, I think it's important that we share the options and the availability of things that people can reach out to, whether it's a mental health center or your local clinic, psychotherapy, as Donna was mentioning, for improvement in their mental health. So that is why I feel like it's very important, is to empower others in rural communities to work on the change if they need that.
So in that, what value, what level of value should someone place on their mental health?
Well, I think it should be very high, because there are, if you don't have good mental health, your quality of life just is not good at all. And pretending to be happy is not the same thing as having a feeling that you have a purpose in life and you are able to participate in loving relationships. The mental, you know, a lack of mental health gets in the way of that.
And I think that, as she said, mental health is so very important, because it can not only affect your mental and emotional well-being, but it can sometimes affect your physical well-being. And so as a provider, taking care of a person's whole person is very important to me, and a holistic providing of care. So just as I would tell a patient, we need to take care of your hypertension, your high cholesterol, your diabetes, we need to take care of your mind as well. And there's options available to take care of that. And there's people that are willing to talk about it. And I think we should break the stigmas down and know that it's okay to at times struggle, but there's also resources available.
For someone who may be struggling, but isn't recognizing it, but a loved one that's near them is recognizing it, What are some of those different signs that that loved one is possibly noticing?
You know, a lot of the changes can be very minute, but it can be changes in a person's energy level or motivation, increased fatigue, or changes in a sleeping pattern, dietary changes where they start overeating or undereating, substance use where they may start partaking in a uncontrollable level of substance use, feeling more withdrawn, irritability, restlessness, inability to focus. I mean, those are all things that a family member may find changing in their loved one or their friend's lifestyle that they can be attuned to.
I think in the rural communities also, since we are frequently dealing with farmers, it's difficult because often farmers spend a lot of time on their own. They're by themselves. They're out in their tractor. They're out feeding the livestock, whatever the chores may be, but often they're doing it by themselves. And there may not be anyone to notice that they're going through some hard times. Or sometimes they can put on a happy face while they're around somebody and joke around and try not to let on that they're going through a hard time. So I think it's important for us to both watch out for the folks around us, but also have some tools to check in with ourselves of how am I doing really? You know, I haven't done anything for fun for a long time and I really don't feel like it. So maybe that's a sign of something I need to talk to somebody about.
And kind of going off of what Donna said, one thing that I advocate for people in our rural community to utilize, or other rural communities as well, is training. So we are attuned to those warning signs. Some of the available training that's out there is mental health first aid, or the QPR training that's provided through AgriSafe. Those are basic training for lay people to have eyes on their individuals in their life of what we should be watching for changes.
For someone who has seen those changes take place, what are some ways that you've seen them effectively start that conversation? And then what are some ways that you would not recommend using to start that conversation?
I think oftentimes people are unwilling to initiate that conversation because they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. They feel inadequate for the situation. And I think we need to find a comfort level of saying, I've noticed you might be a little down lately. Is there anything that you want to talk about, or how can I, maybe you and the family could come over and, you know, offer an alternative social event, perhaps just something to say, hey, haven't seen you around for a while. When can we get together? Let's go have coffee.
And I think the conversation can be just as simple as that, as I noticed that you have been struggling lately, or I noticed that you've been experiencing a little bit more stress. Are you doing okay? Is there any way that I can help? Do you want to talk? Some conversations like that can be very simple, but sometimes leaving those open-ended questions can provide the opportunity for the person that you're concerned about to engage in a dialogue that could be helpful for them.
And one reason for doing that would be sometimes if somebody is down, they're thinking, nobody cares about me. Nobody even notices. So if you say, I noticed, that can be beneficial right there.
For someone who is an individual and has recognized that their mental health is maybe not where it should be in a positive manner, what can they do for themselves?
I think the best step is to either reach out to their local primary care provider or their local mental health center and seek out the advice of someone that is attuned to and trained to understand and assist in helping them get the mental health services that they need, whether it be medication or psychotherapy through professional therapy, or even just educating on non-medicine things that can help a person with their stress level. I think reaching out to those resources would be very beneficial.
I think it's also helpful for someone just to, if you're recognizing that you're in a bad place and you're saying, if you're inclined to think, oh, my family would be better off without me, then that should alarm you right there that, okay, you need to seek outside help. Because as a one who is the daughter of a suicide, I can tell you absolutely, they will not be better off without you. And you need to find some sources to help you recognize the value that you have.
For someone who's not having the best day and is listening to this podcast right now, what do you have to share with them? What would you tell them?
I would tell them that there is support out there. There are people that care about you and want to see the best in you. And even when you are having the worst day possible, sometimes it is reaching out to a loved one or a friend or a coworker or someone at your church and just telling them, hey, I had a really bad day. And then they can give you that support and that feedback of, hey, we're here for you. Hey, we care about you. We want to see you thrive and improve. And we're here to help you along that journey.
I agree with that. Absolutely. Simply acknowledging to someone else that you aren't feeling well, you know, not always having to feel like you're putting on a happy face for somebody else. Sometimes you don't feel happy and it's okay to say so and tell someone to receive whatever they can give you and acknowledge that it matters.
So May is Mental Health Awareness Month and September is National Suicide Prevention Month. But this isn't a subject to just be talked about during those months. Why is it something that should be talked about year round?
Because mental health difficulties are always around. Sometimes I think of the holiday season when everybody is, oh, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. And if you're not feeling that, maybe because of a bad experience during the holidays or whatever reason, that sometimes just even makes it hurt worse. So being able to talk about it year round is very important.
And I would agree with that. I see many patients, particularly in November, December, January, February, some of those winter months around the holidays. And that's when you see the most people that are seeking out help for their anxiety or depression. And that's okay. But knowing that May and September is not the only time of the year that people are experiencing mental health struggles. They are having those year round, and we need to be ready and willing to help them all of the time, not just some of the time.
As mental health is a year round thing, what are some of those programs that are out there for people to utilize?
Well, I know Kansas Farm Bureau has a lot of online things that are available. So you can go to a website and just click on mental health, and there are some resources that would pop up if you don't want to go to your local practitioner for whatever until you kind of figure it out for yourself first. There are online options, but I'm sure Ashley has some other suggestions as well.
Yeah, and that's a great resource. The Kansas Ag Stress website, if you are online, they've provided a conglomeration of a lot of different resources. As I had mentioned previously, AgriSafe is a good option for people that are involved in agriculture and rural communities. There is numerous behavioral health centers that are located all throughout the state that provide resources and training and staff, particularly there to support individuals in their mental health struggles. Like I said, the primary care providers in their local communities is a good starting place. And it's oftentimes as a rural healthcare provider where a person starts. And then if they are needing more care, they're sent and given referrals elsewhere. But also therapy. There's online therapy that a person can seek out. There's in-person therapy. In today's day and age in 2022, a person can get therapy pretty much any time that they want. It's just a matter of reaching out and being open to that option of treatment.
Ashley, for those different programs you mentioned, what are some barriers that people may struggle with being able to utilize those?
That is a great question. I feel like in rural communities particularly, and in Kansas, you're going to find lots of rural communities. Sometimes it's access or availability. Others, they may not have the insurance coverage or lack of access to providers that are in network that their insurance is covering. Sometimes it's the individual that is seeking out mental health care, they want the anonymity. And so they aren't seeking out because they think that they'll be seen or heard and they don't want others to know about it. So those are the biggest barriers to care that I see individuals in rural communities experiencing.
Thank you, Ashley, for talking about those different barriers and different programs that are available for people to learn more about mental health, but also help take care of their own mental health. Thank you guys both so much for taking the time to come on and join this podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That was two Candace Farm Bureau members, Ashley Buying from Osage County, who's a family nurse practitioner in a rural health clinic, and Donna Wise from Sedgwick County. Candace Farm Bureau does have some mental health resources available to you, and that can be found at www.kfb.org/mental health. They will also be coming out with some more materials in the future, so be on the lookout for those as they become available. I'm Shelby Varner, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, a voice of agriculture.